All right. Thank you all for being here today to our commissioner's court. As we begin today, is there someone here that would step forward and lead us in our opening prayer, our opening invocation, if you would, please?
How about it, Silvio? Step forward, Silvio. How about it?
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Silvio. Guys, if we remove our covers, and let's all stand together. And then, Silvio, if you would also lead us in the pledges.
Father, we just come to you this morning. We just ask you to forgive us for our sins, Lord. We just ask for you to guide this commissioner's court. As you say in Romans, that you appoint all authority that's good and bad. Mm-hmm. We ask that all the decisions that are made are for the good for the citizens of this county, Lord. We thank you for your redemption and saving Son, Jesus Christ. We pray everything in your precious name. Amen.
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 Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, Silvio.
Thank you, and you may be seated. As we move forward, let the record reflect that we do have a quorum. Commissioner Walker is not with us today, but we do have a quorum. Let's move forward to item number 6. Do we have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda?
Move.
Have us all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, at this time, we have an opportunity for our citizens to come forward and to share with us about an item, if you would please, that is either on the consent agenda or the open agenda. If it's just a general topic, we do that at the end. So if you would, when you do come forward, if you would mention what your, first of all, tell us your name for the record, and then tell us what item that you want to address. And then we have 3 minutes, and we ask that you would keep it within the 3-minute period. All right. Yes, sir. Would you like to come forward? Is this an item on our agenda? Okay. Please, if you would, please. Jason, if you could help with the microphone.
Yes, my name is Barry Smith, and I'm a homeless veteran. I live at the Salvation Army, and about three or four weeks ago, I was attacked. I was assaulted by an individual. And this is 16B1, I believe, the mental health for anybody to attack somebody that's in a power chair that's obviously disabled, must have a mental health issue. Him and his mother were both arrested. I understand he got 30 days in jail. I looked up the law, and it seems like he should have gotten 180 days in state jail felony for attacking a person that's disabled. So that's basically what I wanted to speak about, was that. And he got 30 days, I believe, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward and address the court, please, from our citizenry? All right. If there's not, then let's move forward on our agenda. Proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. Presentation by Constable Precinct 1, Constable Cash.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. We're setting up our PowerPoint real quick.
Thank you, Constable.
Thanks, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm with Lieutenant Lulai, who's the commander of our mental health division. We just wanted to be here. This is the 1 year, coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the ARPA funding that y'all graciously supplied to our office to better assist our community with the increase in mental health calls we're seeing during COVID. We just want to present some numbers to let y'all know that your funds that you provided to our office are being well spent and well managed, and we see a big difference what's going on in our community. So if you look at the first slide, from 2017 when we started the CIT program all the way through 2022, so far this year, 2022, that's 6 months through January through June, we're already past what we did all of last year. So we've got a 101% increase, but we also have increased what we're doing, providing follow-up services in our community. It's a breakdown. You all have that in your handout, just the what the different calls are and what we're seeing in the community and what the potential is for our agency to continue assisting those in need. We have some, Brian can talk about some of the issues we're having with mental health facilities, but that's not really on our part, but we're doing the best we can. It took us a while to get some really good employees. We're fully staffed on the ARPA deputies, but took a while to get our vehicles, but we managed, and the guys are doing a tremendous job, the guys and gals in the Precinct 1 office. But just want to give you all an update on it. I know it's the August is when we presented this, and it's coming up. So just giving you all a heads up on it.
How far do you transport some of these people?
Go ahead.
What's the furthest way you have to carry somebody to a
facility? It could be as far as Austin State facility, but generally it's in the South Houston, Clear Lake, Galveston County, Katy.
Wow.
So.
Well, we get directed where to take them.
And who does that? Who directs you where you got to go?
The court.
Okay.
Judge Laird's court. But our facilities, our closer ones, get full. So that's what we've seen an influx of Harris County patients being brought to our hospitals in Kingwood and in the southern part of Montgomery County on 45. And we have to follow the orders where to take them. So sometimes we'll have up to 7 or 8 transports waiting to go into Houston. So we're not deleting or depleting our officers up here, but we'll take them one at a time and get them to where they need to be. But it is demanding. They are working from 6 in the morning till 2, 2 at night. So they're doing a tremendous job. They're keeping up, but just wanting you all to know that this is working out for our community.
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, go ahead. One of the questions that I had, Constable, is, one of the appeal when we talked about this last year and we voted all unanimously on it to do it, was that the resources that we were using was from ARPA funds, and we looked at it from the perspective of we didn't have these resources up to that point, so if we were ever going to do it, now was the time to do it, with the understanding that we would see at some point that it's working and the numbers, instead of growing, would kind of come back in a different direction. We're talking to Judge Mack about this, suicide prevention and that sort of thing. Can you give us any insight into that at all?
Well, that's our main goal. One of our main goals through the follow-ups with the CIT is to start getting people treatments before they go into full psychosis or where it's an emergency call. Working with their families, their neighbors, the patient themselves, we get a real positive response from them. We're hoping that will, an education in our community that we're here. That's one of the things, we talk to a lot of groups and churches and different things, and they didn't know about this service. And, we're here, we care, and we're trying to do the right thing for our community.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of education to let them know we're here. I mean, we're
super.
We're working on that. We're doing different things and different programs, trying to educate them that we're here to help them. So hopefully we can stabilize this when COVID stabilizes. Sadly, we've seen in the last few weeks an increase in suicides. suicides by cops are becoming more and more prevalent. But, you know, we're working on that. We're, you know, we work with the other groups that are working on that in our communities. But, you know, if they hear or see something, they need to call us. That's the main thing. Don't wait. You know, if someone's digressing, we want to respond and get them to a place of better care.
Well, we, on behalf of all of us, and we're thankful we have the resources to do it, and well done, man. Thanks for picking up the ball and running with it, and it's very exciting to see what happened. And guys, are there any other comments you'd like to make about this?
Yeah, Constable, Lieutenant, thanks for coming in and actually updating us, and you've done a good job of that throughout the year. That's something that I think the court asked of everybody who received ARPA funding to fund a program, and you're one of the few who has actually come in and kept us updated and shown how valuable the resources you provide are. In doing that, when you come for your budget this next year, two things I just want to make sure of is, one, that you intend to continue to utilize all of these deputies for this resource. They will stay dedicated to this mental health CIT program. And then secondly, if you could update us on how the changes that we've made with increasing resources, how has that affected other entities, for example, Tri-County? I know they've had to make a lot of changes, and I think maybe some of the resources that they used to offer may not be available going forward. And so how is that going to impact us, and what do we as a governing body need to know and need to do to solve that issue?
Well, we have been working with them. I know Brian meets with them in the other hospital districts and other mental health providers in our community. There is some issues I mentioned earlier with it's going to deal with some stuff we have to do where they won't be able to house people where they could house them for a few days. And so it's going to have to be an evaluation then, a transport right away.
If not, they're going to be held in jail, and that's not the appropriate
place. Our hospitals, yeah.
For these people.
You have anything you want to add to that? Yeah.
We certainly don't want that. And kind of dovetailing on that, you know, we have the Montgomery County Mental Health Facility, and the sheriff and I have been having a series of conversations, and we know we have some ARPA funding left, and the county attorney and some outside attorneys are really kind of starting to look at, is there a possibility of us using those ARPA funds to build out the second part of the mental health facility? And in doing so, working with the state to have beds allocated specifically to Montgomery County to assist us in this endeavor. It'll help make your job easier. Certainly we'll work with the sheriff making his job easier, getting people out of the jail. And Judge, hopefully that's something that we can, if we can find out that we can use ARPA for this, I think that's going to be a great.
We're digging on it hard right now.
A great resource.
So if we can, it would be awesome.
How many beds do we have in our facility right now? Do we know?
We get zero dedicated beds right now.
But how many's in that facility?
Oh, what?
Hundreds in that facility?
Mm-hmm. We've had a tremendous positive response from all our law enforcement agencies across the community, both even at the federal and state level when they have issues with employees. It seems to be working. We work hand in hand with any of our agencies, and it's something I think is. It's part of what we need in our community, and it's a success because you all sponsored it and supported it. So on behalf of our agency, we really appreciate everything you all have done for that.
Well, we appreciate you, Sheriff, and all those guys that you put on board and are helping us in our community, or Constable, excuse me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Judge and Commissioners, if it's all right, if we could move B.D. Griffin up to talk about his aspect of mental health. It's on the agenda. He was hoping to follow this.
Sure.
We could dovetail.
We can do that. Sure. Go ahead, BD.
Sure. I'm going to give you his.
Thank you, Judge, Commissioners.
Thank you. Our office, what we actually see in our office is not all of the pickups, but these are the actual mental health cases that have been filed, and you can see the first the first slide. I only have two. The first slide is the total mental health cases from 2016 through 2022 year to date. That's through the third week of July. You can see 2016, we had a total in the that our office handled of 341. We really started to see rapid increase since then, from 341 to 534 to 727. Then 2019, in 2019, another jump to 854, but then COVID in 2020, go from 854 to 1151. Last year, it was 1,359. And through, like I said, year-to-date, we've already done 1,102 actual cases, and those are emergency detention warrants, order for protective custody, and, of course, meds. Unfortunately, if you project out 2020, we're about 60% through. That'd be approximately 1,800 mental health cases that our office will have handled in calendar year 2022.
BD, in terms of just the pure numbers, where are these coming from? Is it just Montgomery County? Is it Harris County? Are we seeing an influx from south?
Well, we are seeing an influx from south county. Now, some of the facilities are service a lot of Harris County, but they're just inside Montgomery County. I believe there's Kingwood facility like that. There's maybe another facility. But we are seeing a lot, and we're hearing anecdotally, just like the constable said, of transports bypassing some of the Harris County facilities and can bring them to the Montgomery County hospitals. But most of them arise from either the psychiatric hospitals or our hospitals, because we do have the medical center area down in the Woodlands. We get a lot from Memorial Hermann, and a lot of our EDWs are from Memorial Hermann. We've just seen influx, and we're not seeing any decrease, unfortunately. We were hoping as COVID got later and later that we would see some decrease. So far, it hadn't translated to this year yet.
I'm going to be curious, because we know that we're dealing with law enforcement issues. We've got a different ideology in Montgomery County as opposed to those south of us. And with that, I'm going to be curious to see how many are coming from Harris County, City of Houston, Fort Bend, or whatever, into our area. And then they end up getting stuck here. And you know, so we ended up, because of the influx of what's taking place there.
And, you know, the origin of the detention, you know, my understanding is most of these are not crime-related. They haven't committed a crime, and then they're being brought up here any more than, you know, the normal. These are civil mental health cases that we're dealing with. We don't, as you know, we don't deal with any of the criminal aspects, assault or anything else like that. So they're actually patients being brought up here, and a lot end up in our emergency rooms up here in Montgomery County. And then their emergency rooms, we have a issue every week with the emergency rooms and the hospitals. They want them out of the emergency rooms and into the facilities. Well, oftentimes there's not beds enough for the facilities. They want to walk, but they say you still can't. They're not able to be released. So that generates the cases, such as the EDWs and the order for protective custody. The next slide just is the detailed breakdown of this. You can see one of the interesting things on this next one. It has an average per day. You can see daily average in 2016 was 1.36. Even in 2019, the average was 3.43. The average for 2022 so far is 7.9, basically 8 cases a day in Montgomery County with regard to mental health. And that's a significant increase from even last year, 2021, which was 5.5. So we have dedicated, last year we dedicated, using ARPA funds, one full, very experienced attorney, attorney 3, to that. Plus we have 2 legal assistants full-time on that, plus another legal assistant part-time handling the mental health, trying to keep up with it.
Is that enough?
No,
it's not.
If it keeps increasing, certainly it's not. I mean, like I said, we were hoping, especially last year, funding the one that we would see some decline with COVID declining, some of the, you know, the economy doing better, things such as that. But we've just seen the increase. And that's, it's, you know, it is starting to become a strain on our office, yes.
You're a shining example of how to do things, in my opinion. And you're always very conservative. You didn't even want to take the person last year, really, as, you know, some prodding from me to get you to do that. And I don't know how you do what you do, actually.
We have a lot of very good people, very dedicated.
You have to have to accomplish what you guys are doing there. Certainly probably need to look at if possibly getting you some more help to deal with it.
Yeah.
Getting any better anytime soon.
Unfortunately, I don't think it is. You know, part of it is just the growth in the county and the growth in the region. We're getting a lot of that. But we're, like I said, we're hoping it would reduce some, but we don't. That's not the trend we're seeing.
So you've given us the report here, BD. I guess maybe my kind of open-ended question that probably scares all of us. So what do you want us to do?
Well, this, I was just reporting on it. Now, actually prepared the budget without any increase in staff. Looking at the numbers, I may be supplementing that and coming back and asking for additional attorney be funded ARPA. We can do that, especially since we have a very experienced attorney kind of leading that division. I would fund it with a beginning attorney.
Yeah.
But I'll be looking at that and coming back at budget and trying to see if possibly we could fund it in ARPA.
I'm all for you bringing a request forward. But I am not going to fund another position with ARPA. I don't think that's smart. We're already in the hole from the year before. Using ARPA funds to fund a position is not the answer, in my opinion.
And Commissioner, the beauty of all this is you have a right to take that position as well.
That's
so
right.
It's all good. But we do appreciate you.
Yeah. And the funding source.
Position may be needed.
Yeah.
Not saying it's not.
Yeah.
Right.
Just ARPA, let's use that for one-time expenses, not ongoing.
And certainly understandable. And like I said, I think in looking at it, and frankly, when I was doing the budget, Ari had four positions I was trying to fill because we'd had a number leave in February and March. So since then, I've started looking at this. And I do think I probably will ask for another position, whether it's funded by ARPA or otherwise. It would be greatly appreciated.
And Amy's going to be much nicer, she said, next year.
That's a good thing.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, BD. We appreciate that. Do you want to? That was just concerning this particular issue. We'll go back to the where we are in our agenda, and then we'll bring up B2 as we get to that in the agenda. All right. Thank you. As we move forward, are moving forward, County Clerk, do we have a motion to approve minutes, both A and B, 9A and 9B? Do I have a motion?
Move.
Second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Consent agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda, or are there any modifications?
Yes, I'd like to move to open E4A on page 3.
E4.
So 10E4A, page 3.
Page 3 of 11 at the bottom.
With that change, I...
Yeah, okay.
Move.
All right, we have a motion. Are there any other changes? None. If not, we have a second.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right, let's move forward. Commissioner.
Yes, sir. So this is for Project 20-17. Internet protocol is VOIP services, and we've had some conversations here about issues with Consolidated. So I wanted to have a separate vote on this topic. And so, understanding we may need to approve this, however, I still don't feel comfortable with what we're the level of service we're receiving from them. So my vote is a no. I'd like to send this back and find somebody else to do their job.
All right. You're making a motion? Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Well, any discussion?
Bobby, I'd like to hear what Bobby's got to say.
Continue to help, probably.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
Nonstop. I mean, Bobby, when the phones don't work consistently, it's a problem.
Yes, I understand. Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
We brought this up. We've been looking for solutions for about, I don't know, the last 3 months. We spent a lot of time. We put a contract through court last week, or last court session, to allow us to bring in T-Mobile as an alternate provider, and we will be doing some neat things with that here in the near future. We do still need the basic services with Consolidated, and this contract is such that we can add and remove units, and it drops the monthly bill or it increases per unit. So as we remove some of the things, the monthly cost will go down. But we do need to have the basic service with them.
We need to have basic service that these people can provide.
Yeah, they're the last mile provider to us. We've got to have services from them.
Is there not another alternative?
There's not.
No one else can provide us services other than...
Not excuse me. We must use Consolidated for some things because they are the last mile provider for us, which means that they own the cable that's in the ground. So we can stack other services on top of this stuff, which is what we're doing, but we must have some stuff with Consolidated. It's just not an option.
The commission brought up the issue of phones not working and that sort of thing. I mean, what do we do?
We are addressing that now by moving forward with the alternate plan. That alternate plan, I'm not prepared to speak about it yet unless y'all just really want me to.
Well, can we bring Gilbert up? Does anybody have any problem?
No. Come on up.
You're on the spot.
All right.
So,
yes, sir.
Do you have ideas, potential solute? I really, to me, rewarding them with a contract extension is the last thing we need to do. Is there another alternative?
What we did, we had an addendum to the Consolidated agreement where Bobby could do add deletes and changes. And that was put in place so that this alternate plan that he's working on can be implemented. So he's got to test it first. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of departments he's going to test it in. So we'll be removing those lines from the agreement, test, and then implement the new solution. But until we do that implementation, we need a phone system. So if you, let's say you canceled it today, mm-hmm. and they're gone, now what? We don't have anything.
That's what I was asking. Do we have an alternative? Understand how we have just one. I mean,
there's alternatives.
The Bell system was split up decades ago.
There are alternatives. It's implementing that alternative that's the issue right now. So we're implementing a solution right now, but we have to test it first before we can say this is the way we're going to go.
You mentioned that maybe the governor's office has suspended purchasing rules and regulations.
Having to do with COVID, yes, sir.
So can we utilize that make phone calls today. Can we authorize this for a 30-day extension versus the whole contract? Is there something we can do to let
you can do it 30 days at a time if you want to. We can bring it back.
We're serious. We don't want... I mean, when my office phones don't work continually, that's a problem.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, we're paying for something we're not getting. And Consolidated has made zero... Have anybody on this court been contacted by a member of Consolidated to say,
no.
Hey, we want to help? That's absurd.
Well, do a 30-day extension,
okay.
And by that time, Bobby can test this other option, and then when we come back the next time, he can then.
We ain't never done anything in 30 days. How's he gonna do that?
He can't.
If you approved this,
it's already,
you have the ability to remove devices and also do this, and so that is the benefit to the county to approving this today.
Right.
As you can start removing lines.
But can we just do a 30-day extension?
Can you do it in 30 days, Bobby?
No.
For part of it?
No, it's not reasonable. We can do the two departments we're going to test within 30 days. Those orders have already been placed. We're waiting on the arrival of the devices right now.
And who are those?
IT and EOC is who we're testing first.
But if you test, you can have them ready to test in 30 days. Then you have to test them. You can't do all this in 30 days.
No, that's correct. And even when we're done, if we removed everything we can remove, we still have to have Consolidated services.
I mean, my office, for example, you could turn those phones off today and we could all have, they can call a cell phone.
Roger that.
And it's absurd. And the way that we're treated, there's no urgency. There's no, to me, it's as, I don't know. I mean, I'm trusting
you
guys.
I agree with you, but I still think we have to have some kind of services.
Yeah, we can't have 911 without, I mean, I get it. There are agencies and departments.
Some basics.
Commissioner, if you withdraw that motion and then come up with a new motion and that we're going to put some type of time stipulation on this, Bobby, whatever you think, to move forward on it.
Can we do 3 months?
90 days?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, so I'll withdraw the harsh no and come back with a more reasonable, they get 90 days and then we get the...
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Commissioner, for
You're
working
welcome.
With us on that.
Yeah.
All right, let's move forward on our open agenda. County Judge, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding the establishment of the Montgomery County PACE program, setting a public hearing on the PROS program for August 23rd. This is a program that would allow commercial, industrial, and multifamily properties in Montgomery County the ability in commercial area to utilize private investment for energy and water. I'm going to ask our guys from PACE, if you'd come on up here. And Jason, you worked in with me on this when we were in the House of Representatives. They tweaked it. Tammy, you and I talked about that in 13. It was not where we needed to be. It was tweaked. If you could come up and stand here and share with us as we have a question.
Good morning to all of you, Montgomery County. Thank you for letting us come up and visit with you. My name is Tracy Gamble. I'm here with Lone Star PACE, and also with me is Lee McCormick, who is the president of Lone Star PACE, and I want to extend our apologies because Glenn Silva, who's our chief operating officer, wanted to visit with you today, and he had to be in Dallas for a funeral, unfortunately. So I'm pinch hitting, but that means that if there are questions that arise on anything, Mr. McCormick's here to jump in and help out wherever we need.
Okay.
And what we just wanted to do very quickly is talk to you a little bit about what this program is and why we're asking you to consider bringing this project in Montgomery County. And PACE stands for Property Assessed Clean Energy. It's a national program, actually. There are 37 states that have authorized the legislation. And as the judge mentioned, this is something that the state of Texas legislature passed 2013 and 2015. They kind of polished it up. So we're starting to really see it now come into use in different cities and counties around the state of Texas. And what it does, it's a voluntary property tax assessment. And I know that does not make any sense that you might have a taxpayer that would say, we would like you to voluntarily assess us more, but they actually do this because what it does is it allows commercial, industrial, and multifamily projects to upgrade the qualifying parts of their project so that they can improve energy, water efficiencies, conservation as needed, and it lets the property owner, it lets you all incentivize the property owner to invest in sustainability and in conservation, energy conservation, and environmentally friendly upgrades that they may otherwise not really have any financial incentive to be interested in doing. You've got an annual report from Lone Star PACE on the dais with you, and you'll see in there when you get a chance to look through it a few of the projects that we've done in the last year, and you can see some examples of some of the cost savings, some of the energy savings. I know in Texas, especially during a drought like this, the topic of energy and water are constantly on everyone's minds. We think that it's a wonderful tool for cities and counties to be able to incentivize the private sector to invest and to reinvest in sustainable development, job creation. It gives developers a reason to do more and build more and hire more people than they may have otherwise. But there's also an immediate, almost immediate revenue generation from the standpoint that property values go up almost immediately once those energy incentives are put on the property. And the way that it works is if a property owner sees an opportunity, a developer sees an opportunity, you know, let's say a hotel wants to add some solar and low-flow plumbing so that they can lower their energy costs for operation, they're going to get in touch with us if the county or the city where they want to do this project is not already authorized to do PACE. That's, in fact, why we reached out to Montgomery County originally. We had a commercial property owner contact us. They said, we've got a project in Montgomery County, and we would like to be able to utilize this to really stretch our development dollars on the side that's qualifying. A property can up to 25% of the property value once the property value stabilizes. 25% of the project, can be utilized with PACE funding, and that lets that developer do more and invest more on the traditional funding side.
What's the liability to the county?
Zero.
Okay.
I realize that's a bold, fast statement. But the one of the things that makes PACE exciting for local jurisdictions to consider is that there's no cost There's no cost to the county to administer the program. There's no cost to you to participate in the program. And also, statutorily, the county, all county stakeholders, partners, elected officials, staff, they're all indemnified. There's no liability to the county on the project whatsoever.
So where does the county, why do you need the county?
Well, because since what's going to be happening with that extra generated revenue on those increased property taxes, ultimately because the county is the taxing entity, we want to make sure that the city and county are okay, or that the approving jurisdiction, the county is okay with adding that step to the process. That's why we work with your county tax assessor. We work with your county offices to make sure they've got what they need to understand how to increase that tax assessment and pass that through. I'm sorry?
To add another tax.
It is an increase on the tax that the property owner is already paying. And the property owner volunteers to do that because they want to see that increase in their funding opportunities on the qualifying part of the project.
So to me, this sounds like a presentation that would be more geared to another county, maybe Harris. You're using words, clean energy, sustainable development, savings, increase in taxes, and no cost. It all sounds like a plan that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And you're not selling me on it, that's for sure.
Well, and I understand that. There's a lot of it that on the front end sounds very snake oil. How can this be real?
You sound like you should be selling this to, you know, Harris County, perhaps.
Well, I think that the developers who are interested in coming here with their projects are looking for ways right now. We've started to see a lot more interest. This was PACE financing was not something that developers and lenders were very interested in a year ago because capital was very affordable. Interest rates are going up, and the private sector is looking for ways to stretch those dollars and to make them go farther. So we come and speak to a jurisdiction when we've had interest from a developer or a property owner who has said, I've got this much money to spend. I'd like to do more with it. If I utilize this program, then I can make my dollars go farther. I can hire more people. I can reinvest more than I would have before. And so it's not a tax that the county is taking and keeping. So
up on their bill. They see it.
They asked you to do it.
But it shows up on their tax statement.
You said earlier that you had somebody from Montgomery County that called you and was interested in mm-hmm. this. Do we know who that is?
Lee?
Yeah, this would be a question for for our president.
I haven't had a developer ask me.
I thought it was a developer that called.
Have you?
No.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Lee McCormick with Lone Star PACE. Just kind of to take a step back, Harris County actually does have this program already. Dallas County has it. There's actually over 70 cities and counties that have implemented PACE just in the last 5 years.
How many?
Over 70 statewide. Okay. So it's a fairly popular program, and I'd say most of those 70, probably 50 of them, it's been in the last 3 years. So it's kind of accelerating as it's grown. One thing to make clear, there is no addition to the property tax bill on PACE. So this is private dollars going into private projects. The assessment is placed on the property strictly for security interest reasons for the lender. It's a private lender loans these dollars for the improvements on the property, for that property owner to do. There's nothing that gets put on the tax bill, just a assessment is filed with the county to secure that lien on the property. So that's the only reason the county is involved, because obviously we can't put a lien on the county. Property tax lien's got to be put on either by a city or a county. So either a city or a county can do a PACE program.
And they're subordinate to our, we're still, if they go into default on their taxes.
Tammy.
We are.
They're superior? Tammy,
our tax assessor collector is here.
Yes. Okay.
I think what you're asking is about our tax lien, and it would be superior.
Hours?
Counties.
No, is this something, Judge, you're asking us to approve today, or just learn?
No. What I'm asking is to set a public hearing to look at the program.
Got it.
I didn't intend for it to get this deep in the weeds at this point, but if you guys would, but if you don't want to, that's okay too.
I don't know enough about
August
it.
August 23rd, to come back and to talk with us about it at that time.
We'd be happy to meet with the commissioners one on one, go through the program, because it's not a difficult program, but it's different than what you're typically used to seeing. with programs like this. And the whole reason that PACE was put out there is the state legislature was trying to incentivize commercial and industrial property owners to upgrade their facilities or build new facilities above code for energy and water efficiency, but they didn't want to put any burden on taxpayers. So they did what other states had done, and that's create this incentivized program to bring private dollars into these projects by giving the lenders a little bit better security interest in the loan, i.e. the property tax assessment on that property. And the whole goal of PACE and the whole incentive for these property owners is if I can improve the efficiency of my property, my utility bills are going to drop. If I have a better security interest in that loan, the lenders will loan out for a longer period of time, and therefore the utility bill savings will align with the cost of those upgrades, so it's cash flow neutral for these property owners. And that was kind of the carrot to help these property owners either renovate their buildings and get rid of the fluorescent lights and put in LEDs or put in high-efficiency HVAC units versus their older units to upgrade, basically, or build a building that's above code, because in the end, they're getting a better building, but from a cash flow perspective, those utility bill savings for those improvements are offset by the cost of the financing. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody, and then it also helps with economic development for the local contractors here in the community. They're putting these energy-efficient upgrades in buildings.
Now, if the county doesn't do it, then it defers to the cities, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But what happens there is you have different programs city to city.
I got you. For the benefit
like
of this.
Like a perfect
so
place
we can move
for
on,
that.
Yeah. So for the benefit of this, what we're doing is this is for the purpose of setting a public hearing for a proposed program. That's all it is, for public hearing. If we don't want to do this, I'm going to ask for a motion to do it. If we don't have a motion or it dies for lack of a motion, that's okay too. But do we have a motion to move forward to set the public hearing to be able to talk more about it? Then I'm not going to make a motion. Since I can't get a motion, I'm not going to get a second. So we appreciate you guys coming. Thanks right. so much. It dies for lack
all
of a
right.
motion.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you all. Appreciate you coming in. Budget, Amanda.
Hope you get a second, Amanda. Go first.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning. Thank you.
I'm here this morning to go ahead and give you guys the FY23 preliminary budget presentation. You guys should have by now a copy of the full fiscal year 2023 preliminary budget. We submitted those to your offices yesterday and possibly on over the weekend. We did file. This has been filed, so it is on the county website as well, as well as the county clerk also has a copy of the preliminary budget. Just a quick discussion about some major changes from the FY2022 budget to the FY2023 budget. We did see an increase to, of course, employee health insurance programs, and that's related to COVID, elective surgeries, independent health care. We guys talked about that when we did our funding factor earlier this year, and so that is part of the preliminary budget. The next piece that's in the budget is a 2.5% cost of living adjustment on law enforcement step plan and to all other county employees. The third is going to be an increase to certification programs for law enforcement personnel, including deputies, detention officers, and dispatchers. I will go into more in detail as to what these programs kind of are during budget workshop. Just kind of wanted to give you kind of an introduction to some of the programs that we included in the preliminary budget, along with in the future as the slide goes on, some of the positions that were included as well.
And if you add those two bullets together, you said it's about 5.5% total increase in compensation for employees?
Yes, along with there was a position grade adjustment that's included in as well, and that makes up 5.5%. I'm going to grab my notes real quick.
No problem. That's bullet point two and bullet point three?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Bullet point three alone was just a little over $1 million, just to give you guys a big glimpse of things. Increases to fuel, lubricants, and other vehicle maintenance items were included. That was close to another $1 million that we added to between our FY22 adopted budget and our preliminary budget. We also have the county court at law, that full funding. Of course, right now in our 22 budget, we just have about six weeks of that. So we'll have the whole year in our FY23 budget. Oh, as you guys know, it's no new surprise that inflation right now is at some of the records since we've had in December 1981. I pulled some inflation numbers from, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, inflation's up 10.2% year over year from last year, and that was released July 13th. My preliminary budget, just to give you an overall impact, the budget overall went up 7.41%. Okay. Now, there's not including some of the capital outlay items that we still need to fund, but we are well below that 10.2% inflation growth along with the population growth. So as much as inflation is hitting everyone, thankfully, our departments were able to absorb it. We were able to work with purchasing to identify, you know, some creative ways and some, you know, ways to reduce costs as much as we can.
Awesome.
We did see an increase on the services side, and that's where you're going to see some of those contract services, lab testing, landscape maintenance, IT software maintenance, including some of our big ticket judicial and Microsoft systems. For the fiscal year 23 preliminary expenditures, the general fund without projects, this means no contracts, which is expected to be about $257 million. With the projects, it kind of shows you we have about $22 million just in contract, meaning that we contract with a third-party entity or a government agency, Woodlands Township, for example, for those. So that's the general fund with projects. Road and bridge, $42.5 million. That did increase a little bit. And then debt service at $43.7 million, which is about a half a million dollar increase.
What was road and bridge last year?
41
the
something.
Rate the same. Well,
yeah.
But 41 something?
41 something. So I did, like I said, I did include some new positions in the preliminary budget, and this is based off of, you know, like BD got up and talked about his mental health cases. Those departments that submitted new position requests, and we saw a direct increase in service or something that they were going to provide, we did go ahead and include those in the preliminary budget. So I would like to go over those with you guys this morning really quick. We did add an IT GIS technician. This was related to recent map changes that you guys have approved, and along with assisting the law enforcement services, including dispatch and towing programs. The tax assessor, we gave her an additional deputy specialist position, included that in our budget, and that's related to an increase in counts and growth in the county. Permits assist specialist, that's to assist the permit department. They've seen record volume in fire permits, regular plat permits, everything that you can imagine. We're seeing some increases in.
Funded from fire marshal funds? Or
20% of it's filed. Funded out of the fire marshal.
And I guess that's one we can talk about during the budget hearings, because I believe they're stepping up and getting the job done now.
Yeah, so this is a position that we did talk to Scott about, and Scott was like, look, I'm not necessarily sure I'm 100% going to fill it. I'm going to wait and see kind of how it's going. We didn't want to disclude it in the budget because we didn't want, you know, a $75,000, $80,000 impact in the future. Mm-hmm. So we did include it, but knowing that if, you know, things changed around, then you know, we would keep those savings.
Don't want another backlog either, though.
Exactly.
Right.
Animal services, we did include a live release manager. This is to assist in the customer service outreach specialist, and it's to also help, it's going to supervise some of their coordinator positions. The library, this is a computer analyst position for Central Library. This is to assist the library patrons with any of their computers. They're going to actually be teaching computer programs. And this is to kind of get that evolvement of what we consider a traditional library evolving into the next century of maybe being a little more technologically advanced. The next one is a part-time Justice of the Peace Precinct 5. This is a part-time clerk, and they haven't requested any changes for a long time. So it was that area, as you guys know, is growing rapidly. Some new positions included in the preliminary budget for law enforcement and corrections. This is where most of the new positions went to. We had three positions added for juvenile. This is to assist in opening a new pod. As you guys know, with everything that's been going on, they have been able to kind of keep, you know, the levels that they have. As we get out of COVID, people are going back to school, going back in person, you know, getting out and about. They are seeing some increases in some of their loads. And also this new pod would allow them, if they needed to, or they have the ability to take in additional juveniles from other counties to help offset some of these costs. Fire marshal investigator position, again, this fire marshal's office on the investigation side hasn't requested an increase for a while here. And we expect with the amount of growth that they're seeing and just, you know, you heard with the fire ban how many additional, you know, fires there were. 8 civilian positions for the sheriff's office, including additional dispatchers. We did get a request from 911 to fund to see if we would go in with them 60-40 on new dispatchers. We did recommend 3 of those in the preliminary budget. And so we can discuss more if the sheriff wants to later in budget workshop about adding any additional. Again, there were no sworn officers added at all of these positions are to assist law enforcement. But no, there are, besides the fire marshal investigator, there's no, that's the only sworn one on this level, on this sheet here. We also added a fleet technician for Constable Precinct 4. I thought that was a very reasonable request because right now they have a lieutenant doing some of those transactions and doing some of that, those reporting. And to me, if we can pay someone $23 an hour versus $45, $46 an hour, it makes more sense for that law enforcement officer to be back, you know, back on the street doing those things that he needs to be doing. There's 2 positions for the district attorney included, including 1 position for the public integrity unit. And just so you guys know, we did build the budget off of total estimates on revenues, okay? So I do expect over the next, hopefully before budget workshop, for us to file a new, an updated preliminary budget as we continue to get more of these updated revenues, and assuming that, you know, we can, if there's any expenditure recalculations that we might need to do. So we do intend on filing an updated budget between now and budget workshop.
What's the percent of the collections that we have right now? Tammy?
Ooh,
91.4. So we got quite a bit still in what, protest?
Oh, no. He's talking about
what percentage? Future.
What percent? Go ahead.
Future. Of the appraised, of the taxable value has been certified or been estimated?
A little over 91, like just under 91.5% has been certified. We still have over 31,000 accounts that are under protest.
$7.9 billion.
What is that? How does that relate to where we were last year? We were ahead of that last year, weren't we?
We were. We received certified values last year on July 25th, and yesterday I received certified estimates. Tony, the appraisal district is projecting to certify on August the 5th,
which is way later than usual. Just to be clear, many of our peer counties that were in a similar situation or had even more properties in appraisal, under appraisal review, and they have fewer employees in their CAD than we do, they've been able to certify their values already.
Yes, most of the large or metropolitan counties, everyone that I know has certified yesterday or prior to yesterday.
And it puts us in an awkward position because I think it'll be the second time since I've been here that we are going off of an estimate.
The certified estimate, though, would assume that it's going to go up from there, though, right? You're operating on numbers that...
Well, Amanda's right. It'll go both ways. They cannot certify until we reach 95%. And right now, we're just under 91.5%. That was as of yesterday. They resumed hearings yesterday. I think they had shut the system down on Monday in order to generate the certified estimates. But values, the properties that are under protest, that number will come down. The $7.9 billion will come down, and it will be shifted over to the certified side, but it will go down from here.
Is the 25th, is that a statutory obligation that they were supposed to comply with, or is it just a recommended?
No, it's a statutory date.
And what happens when they miss that?
Well, if they miss that date, then they have to provide certified estimates.
Can we ask for a
There's no real punishment for or liability.
They just, what do you mean if they miss that, they have to, what would you say?
If they are unable to certify values, then they have to provide certified estimates, which is what I did get yesterday.
So realistically speaking, we haven't, you're telling us we have enough information based upon certified estimates to move forward with the budget. Is that correct?
Judge, if I may, yes, I do think that we do, but I do not want you guys to, normally at the end of the workshop, you vote on a proposed tax rate. And normally that is done the last day of budget workshop. I do, and that's my second item here, my request is to move that vote because I do not think that you should vote on a proposed tax rate if you have certification, certified values coming within that same, within a, you know, a few days of that. We expect to get certified values August 5th, and so we believe that at that regular commissioner's court on August 9th, that would be an appropriate date for you guys to vote on a proposed tax rate. So it does shift the calendar a little bit, just because it's not following what we necessarily do every year. But because we are, Tammy and I are just not 100% certain that those certified estimates and those certified values are going to be exactly the same, we'd rather you guys wait just a couple of days to set that proposed tax rate before you just go all in. If
is that a decision you have to make today? Or, I mean, we can do that as we go, right? I mean, because we could, if we're at 91% and 92% today, there's a chance by Monday or Tuesday of next week you might get enough values in for them to have a certified
95%
number early.
Yeah.
Well, I spoke with Tony yesterday, and he still is has it at August the 5th.
Come in early just because he's on the hot seat.
Should we move the whole budget workshop or just the day we set the tax rate?
I think we should just move the day we set the tax rate because we have put a lot of time and effort into that planning calendar because the budget, the tax rate, the publications, they all have deadlines. And we've worked really closely with the county attorney's office to make sure we're in compliance with all of those deadlines. So we will, if I receive those values on Friday, August 5th, my team and I are going to work that weekend to get the calculations for the county and other taxing jurisdictions. We will have that information to Amanda and to Rakesh over that same weekend. We'll provide that to them. So they'll be able to prepare that information to present to y'all, and I will be able to present y'all with some proposed rates, our rates, so that you can propose a rate.
But statutorily, based on estimates, certified estimates, we're in line with where we need to be in terms of the state.
So yes, and so the last year that we got certified estimates, we didn't have this many outstanding accounts still under review. I think that that's where the shift from, yeah, we're happy with, you know, getting certified estimates. I guess as happy as I can be, really. But the problem is right now you have so many outstanding accounts, and that's why we're requesting for the proposed tax rate to be moved just a few days, because with those outstanding accounts still being, you know, in the double digits, that makes just Tammy and I a little bit more nervous versus the last time that you guys sent certified, that you guys adopted a rate on certified estimates, there weren't that many outstanding accounts.
And to put it into perspective, last year at certification, on July 25th last year, we had just over 12,000 accounts that were under protest, totaling $2.3 billion. Right now, we have over 31,000 accounts totaling almost $8 billion, $7.9 billion. So we're going to, some of those, and 24% of that $8 billion is commercial properties.
Gotcha.
Well, but we can also, as y'all have done, I mean, we can make assumptions based on what the average has been when they move to settle these and come up with,
right,
with the value. And a week ago at this time, we had $16 billion under protest, and we're already down to 7.9.
It changed so quick.
This moves, right, fairly quickly, and the majority of that value, well over 90%+ of it, shifts to a full value. I mean, we get 90% at least of whatever is in protest.
Right, and we did take some of those assumptions into account. I've provided Rakesh and Amanda with some revenue information based on that, and we took a larger assumption than we normally do because with it's four times as much as it was this time last year.
Can we let's just say, I'm not saying we should do this. We say, okay, let's do August 8th. But we're looking for it faster, And as we go and we develop and we know that it hits 95%, do we have to wait till August 8th to know that it hit 95% or that weekend? Or we know ahead of that? And if we did during budget, could we end, say, on a Friday and be done?
You do have to notice the vote, right? So the budget workshop is noticed separately from the vote on the proposed tax rate.
Yeah. Or we can do that next week while we're in, I mean, we're in session.
You'd have to call in emergency meeting to set a special meeting.
But what I'm asking is because I know
we noticed that separately.
But there's no way that Tony, I just knowing that he has the entire county and every taxing jurisdiction waiting on him, and I won't even get into the reasons why, but waiting on him to get his job done, I just don't see him waiting until the last day
and Tony,
on the 5th to get that number.
And Tony did say as soon as they hit that 95% mark, they will shut their system down and certify.
That'll be Monday or Tuesday of next week, I would guess.
So if that comes in earlier than the 5th, then we'll get it before the 5th. But we will notice it, and I guess that's a question for Amy. We'll notice it for budget workshop. It'll be a separate notice.
What are you saying, Amy?
We can notice it on the agenda. Jason and I will work to get the language correct.
So there's no reason to decide today. We can get.
You don't necessarily have to decide today.
Right.
Okay. Then let's. If we don't need to decide today, then let's don't decide today.
And a couple of things to ask just to clear up.
We can notice it like you want, Commissioner.
Speak into the microphone.
We can notice it like the court's asking now, basically, for the end of next week, is like we normally would. And as we get through the week, if it doesn't materialize, we'll have enough time by Friday to notice next Tuesday's public. Yeah, yeah, so we're good either way. So
perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so
You can also just recess those and go into the next week as well. So there's a lot of different options.
Let me ask a couple of things. So this budget that you're proposing,
yes,
this obviously has not been approved by the court. This is something that you and your team put together in trying to meet the needs of, or
yes,
requests.
It's a preliminary budget. So what we do is we take input from the commissioner's court, we take input from the departments, and some input that we get from the public, and we put that all together and calculate numbers based on what we feel prioritized needs are for the county. Our prioritized needs are definitely and could be different than your prioritized needs, and that's okay. And so that's why we go through the budget workshop where we work through the budget. What we'll do when we kick off budget workshop is, again, I'll give you a brief presentation of all of the requests because, yes, we approved, you know, the positions I'd stated, but we had 86 new position requests and we had 295 position change requests, meaning existing positions.
Well, typically how we do it, Amanda, is we just kind of go as, okay, we add, we start, then we have this amount of money left, this amount of money left. Is it possible for us to look at the whole big picture and then decide based upon that, once we've looked at everything, to decide what we need to do as opposed to notching it off as we go?
Yeah, so
a little bit different than what
we've done. So my plan, yeah,
Judge, you're on the same wavelength as I am, and that's why I'm trying to ask some of these questions because I don't want people to read this, be it public or the actual department heads and elected officials, and think I got what I wanted or this is what's going to happen. These are just requests, and there are a lot of other requests that we may not even know about yet.
Oh, yeah.
So
plenty
when there's
we know
86
about
new positions being asked for, I can't tell you if these are more important than
correct
the other 86. And I appreciate your advice and wisdom in trying to weed that out for us. I just don't want people looking at it, nor do I want people looking and saying, oh, good, my certification pay is going to increase. I can't say that for sure. I don't want people to say I'm going to get a 2.5% rate. I don't. I just want to caution people that there are a lot of things, and because of the number of requests this year, I kind of I would think that if instead of – because what typically happens, people come in and they make their request – and honestly, the first people that are here typically have better luck because by the time you get to the end of the week, there's no money left.
Everybody's wore out.
So I think that this time, if we could get a good grasp of what people are asking for before we start approving things, it might be beneficial to us because from what y'all are saying, not going to be a whole lot of not a lot of revenue in excess of what you've presented.
Correct.
So we have to be pretty careful.
Correct. I would agree with that. Yes, and Commissioner, we have discussed that before about, you know, doing workshop a little bit differently, and the fact that we would come in, budget workshop, and give you guys an intro to what everything the departments did, versus the departments getting up here and it taking, you know, 18 hours for them to go through the request. We'll give you an introduction to everyone's request so that you kind of get a feel for it. And then we can go via each commissioner or whatever and say, hey, look, we're the Department A, you know, your request is being entertained. Come and do your, you know, business case as to why you should get, you know, the additional increase. Or right. Maybe you saw something in the preliminary budget and you're like, I definitely don't like that. Yeah. Either way, and we can do it that way. So I think that that's kind of the plan. We still may need to change. Originally, if you guys remember when I brought the budget calendar to you guys, I made a recommendation of starting on Wednesday just because we knew that we had that tax sale and constable sale happening in this courtroom. That is still the case. They are still having that tax sale and constable sale somewhere in this vicinity. Okay, it can be in this bill room. It can be in the outside of this right here in the lobby. But there is going to be somebody in our area.
But
okay.
I thought we were moving to the courthouse.
That's the same day that they.
Yeah, they're going to be out there, not in here.
I'm just giving you an idea. If you guys, the special session that you guys had a couple weeks ago, all those people that were out there waiting on you guys to finish, that's going to be the same amount of people that'll be throughout the whole thing. So,
okay.
I just want to make sure that everyone's aware of that.
As long as the doors are closed.
Yes.
Quiet them down.
Okay. So starting on Tuesday, because the departments are also asking us, okay, well, when do we need to be there? My recommendation for departments is going to be, you should probably be on standby, every department, and you'll get a text from the budget office whenever you need to attend. Is that the best? I don't want a bunch of department heads.
I think you should come in Tuesday after. Do we have court Tuesday?
No.
Okay, so what time do we start Tuesday morning? What's the schedule?
It's totally up to you because, like I said, I wasn't sure of what you guys wanted to do since the tax sale is still happening at 9 o'clock outside there.
Earlier.
Kind of 9:30?
Earlier.
They're going to be here before that.
Well, I mean, just keep the door locked. They can't get in.
8 o'clock.
Holy moly, Charlie, I didn't know you got up that early.
Okay, 7 o'clock.
6:30. 8 o'clock. Let's do 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock will work.
Okay, 8 o'clock on Tuesday. We'll notice that.
And would you start with just the overview and kind of go through, I mean, and let, I think all of us have questions and we call in the departments we want to talk to, basically.
There you go.
Sounds good.
All right. We don't need any official motion on any of this right now, do we?
That's right.
All right. We're good, Amanda?
That's
Amanda,
good.
The one thing I would bring up is that you made a comment that inflation year over year is
10.2%. Mm-hmm.
So last year, employees got a 5% cost of living adjustment, and if they get 2.5% this year on average, they would just still be below the cost of living just in general.
Yep.
Thank you.
We had 6.8% population growth, 10.2% inflation.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. All right. Next, county clerk. In accordance with and authorized by local Woo-hoo. Texas local government code, the county judge will draw the names of public members of the salary grievance committee from the names of each person who served on the grand jury in the county during the preceding calendar year. 3 members and 3 alternates will be drawn.
Okay, good morning. We're going to get started. We'll draw the regular members first and then the alternates. I'll turn those over to the county attorney's office and they will notify the people in the event that we have to have a salary grievance committee.
Cool. Do I need to stand up? Why don't you hold on to that? And there you go. And just kind of. Okay. You going to read it off?
These are for the regular members.
Shauna Delsky.
Shauna Delsky. And then we have Benjamin D. Littlejohn. And finally, Gavin Bray. These will be our regular members. Yeah. Put my name in there.
I got 3 more.
3 more for the alternates.
Elder Blair.
Okay. We have Naomi Barsanis. I'm not good at that. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Brophy. And finally, Brandon Parrish. All right. So that will take care of it. And I'll give these to Amy.
Thank you very much.
Door prize drawing at the end of the back for a cruise. Thank you all.
Judge, it reminds me of the time when Jim Clark, Commissioner Clark, wanted to do a drawing for something and suggested we get a brown paper sack, and that's how we made that decision. I don't remember what that was for.
It's kind of like how we draw for the order on the ballot. All right. Let's move on. Risk management. Share with us what's going on.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. We're requesting you consider and approve our item as written. This is going to allow us to process the loss of the chiller at the main courthouse as an insurance claim using self-insurance funds. We'll cover the rental through Sunbelt of the temporary chiller, the generator to run it, and the fuel to fuel that generator. Anticipating right now about 8 months, but until building maintenance is able to obtain a permanent replacement.
We want to keep our courthouse functioning and our judges happy.
So that's what I hear.
Here's the question that I had about this from the very beginning.
Yes, sir.
Is that when this took place and whoever was driving the truck that hit the transformer that blew out all the electric, is that what happened?
So I am not sure. Initially, we had heard that might be what happened. We contacted law enforcement. There were no security footage of anything happening, there just didn't exist any, not that they said it didn't happen. Our adjuster contacted local businesses. Nobody fessed up to anything. We do know that there were back-to-back power outages, and when I talked to building maintenance, they suspected that certainly played a huge role in it. So right now we're treating it as a loss due to the power surges that happened.
Is there any chance of finding out who did it so that we could go back and subrogate against them?
I will say there's a chance. I don't know how good of one it is. Again, we've referred it to both the Sheriff's Office and to Conroe PD.
Okay. All right.
Good question.
All right. Gentlemen, we have a motion to approve.
I move.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, sir.
Emergency management. Jason.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. The first item A, is approve a supplemental payment of prorated taxes for a flood buyout property, the amount not to exceed $4,000, the name of funding source. This stemmed from a buyout that happened about 2 years ago that during closing, we got a credit against the grant for the taxes. The homeowner paid the taxes and that credit was given to us, so the grant paid out less, unfortunately, for that buyout than it should have, and the title company did not forward taxes over to the tax assessor's office, and now a bill has come due. Unfortunately, GLO funds can't pay taxes, so we're stuck in a conundrum where we own a property with a tax bill due on taxes due that were paid by the original seller, and we're in a conundrum now, so that's why I seek a funding source today to get this done so we can close out this book.
They were paid by the seller?
The seller paid them. The title company gave the county a credit against the purchase and subtracted that credit from the amount we owed. So the grant paid less for the property than it should have. And as such, we've kind of been in this tax quandary. So Beanie can explain more.
A little different than that. Basically, the taxes weren't quite yet due. The final tax bills weren't out. So the title company made a proration based upon how long the seller was going to own the property. We received a credit against the purchase price for that amount, but then when the tax bills came due, we did not pay them. So some amount was paid, but the whole amount was not. So this is what the tax bill that's left over, and with a little bit of penalty and interest on it. But
so we
have to pay it.
We owe $4,000 to the tax assessor collector.
It's a little less than that.
It's a little less than that for all the various jurisdictions.
All right. Do we have a funding source?
I move contingency.
Contingency. All right. We have a motion. Contingency. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
And we have met with Office of Emergency, and we think we've got it solved. Hopefully it won't happen again. It does happen sometimes on our acquisitions on eminent domain, so it happens from time to time, but we hopefully have a process.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Jason?
The second item, a couple months ago we came and asked for approval on a GLO grant for updating our hazardous mitigation program, and it's a $100,000 grant that we're tentatively awarded at this time. We haven't received final award yet. We're under the impression from the GLO the final award will come later this year, close to December. As a result, that'll put updating that plan beyond the expiration date, which will put us in non-compliance with the state, which puts in jeopardy a lot of our grants and other things. So I'm seeking funding today so we can kind of get ahead of that and understand that grant is going to come, and we'll ultimately reimburse the county for the funds sought today so we can get the contractor started on getting that plan updated so it will be approved and gone through the process of all the public hearings and things needed to get it done.
Do you have a reimbursement resolution for us to sign today?
$100,000.
No, is there a reimbursement resolution prepared?
I don't know if one was prepared. Amen. Generally, they book this as accounts receivable on the grant, and we bill against it. But
I thought we need a reimbursement resolution to do that. Be preferred?
Well, we can get that. I mean, if that's what we need.
We can, and we can bump the Verizon next time. But we're sending the pass where if the county pays for it, for as long as the grant
happens. Yeah, they booked it as a receivable in the past, and we pay against it up front before it arrives, but. So that's the reason I'm seeking a funding. So I just don't have a budget to cover that large of a number. But
how much? $100,000. How much, Amanda? What are you thinking?
Your contingency has with that last 463. So I mean, it's up to you guys what you. And then reimburse. I would like to see the reimburse.
Yeah, I thought we always did a reimbursement resolution. That's why I was asking.
I can have one drafted, come back and memorialize it next week if that's fine with you.
Yeah, that's fine. Move.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Contingency with the reimbursement resolution to follow.
I'll second it. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jason. All right, County Attorney, Precinct 1.
I think Jason turned your mic off.
Not a problem. 16A1. Proposed mutual termination of tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and New Park Industrial Blending Solutions, successor New Park. This is a tax abatement agreement that basically has finished. There are no more years on the abatement. Their numbers fell below for the third time, so they were in default, and we've reached an agreement on the recapture amount.
How much is the recapture?
$241,000.
Is that the full amount for the 10 years?
It wasn't a 10-year abatement.
Well, is it the full amount that they owe for the entire time?
It is the full amount of the recaptured taxes. It does not include penalties or interest, but it's the full amount of the taxes that were abated during the entire time.
We didn't make a concession to the agreement. They are paying exactly what they're supposed
to pay. They're
ponying
up, right? They're paying it off.
Essentially, yes.
Okay. Essentially. Sorry, I'm just...
Well, yes. I mean, we did not charge penalties. The agreement did not allow for interest or attorney's fees.
Is this one of those old agreements from...
An older agreement, yes.
And it's a mutual separation.
Yes. And the reason it's mutual termination, even though they do not have any more abatements, it relieves them of any ongoing duties with regard to values. And they had severe COVID hit them terribly. They tried to rework things and lost a large customer. So basically, they're looking to sell the building at this point. So.
Okay, I make a motion to approve.
That check goes to Precinct 4.
That's what I was going to ask. Where's the money going?
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. BD, we have addressed item B1 earlier. If you would come and let's talk about item B2 and the TxDOT.
We're going to defer.
Oh, we're going to defer.
We're going to defer. Can
defer that?
Yeah, please. B2. Going to be deferred.
Okay. That item is deferred. Then let's go to our public hearing. And we'll adjourn recess Montgomery County Commissioners Court to convene public hearings. Amy?
Rebecca, do you want to do this? The first one has to do with grants, so I'm going to let Rebecca take it.
It's me. Good morning, Judge Commissioner.
Morning.
We need to conduct a public hearing on the grant application to the Edward Byrne Memorial JAG Grant, fiscal year 2022 local solicitation through the U.S. Department of Justice, pursuant to the public hearing notice published on July 22, 2022. Grant is titled Montgomery County Sheriff's Office Equipment Grant Program in the amount of $61,482, no matching funds required. Anyone here to speak on that?
Thank you.
We'll take that one up on item 19A in a minute. But right now, Precinct 1, consider the partial replat of Lot 53, a portion of Lot 52, and a portion of Reserve E, Block 52 on Walden on Lake Conroe, Section 9, to be known as Walden on Lake Conroe, Section 9, partial replat number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to create one lot and one block. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The notice was sent to the HOA, and it is set for approval under item 18A. Is anybody here to speak about it? Precinct 4. Consider the partial replats of lots 52 and 61 of Security Subdivision to be known as Lombard Road Replat. The purpose of the proposed replat is to divide lots 52 and 61 into four lots. The HOA has not been found. The plat was submitted for approval by the county engineer under 18B. But is anybody here to speak about that? Okay.
All right. So let's go ahead and reconvene court. And under county attorney, item 18A and B having to do with Precinct 1 and Precinct 4, we have a motion to approve.
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Concerning grants and community development, this was just brought to us by Rebecca. We have a motion to approve.
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, item 20, human resources. Item 20A, we're going to defer that for right now. And let's move to item 20B.
Gentlemen, consider approving authorized payout of grandfathered sick leave for 4 employees.
Jody, didn't we do this already?
No, sir.
I'm pretty sure.
We checked the minutes. I did check the minutes, Commissioner, and we paid it for one. We paid it for J.P. Mazden when he went from.
Oh, that's a.
That was the
ago.
Only
yeah.
one that we did.
We have talked about this forever. Yes, we need to pay this money out. So move.
Yes, sir.
Second.
Predates every single person.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? Have a second? All in favor?
Maybe not you.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Doty. We appreciate that so much. Item A1 under commissioners, going to defer that. It's a Commissioner Walker item, and he'd like to be here to discuss that. So we'll do that in our next session. Executive session, however, is taking place right now. Item number 22, the court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071, 551.074. Thank you. We appreciate your patience, and we will be back.
Yes, and it's going to be a long executive session. Just be prepared.
We're waiting. We're going to reconvene. And we are going to take action on one item. Item that Commissioner No Action to make a motion on, please.
Item B. So hear ye, take notice. Montgomery County Commissioner's Court is authorizing the County Attorney's Office. We're going to approve the resolution in order for the County Attorney's Office to defend this civil action number 4-22CV0576P. And we are authorizing the county attorney's office to take any and all actions to defend this claim, including sanctions and countersuit on behalf of the Montgomery County.
Amen.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. At this time, our citizens are here. We take some time out for our citizens if you'd like to come and share with us. Let me remind you that we have 3 minutes, and you can come, state your name for the record, and we'll move forward from there. Who will be first? Is there someone here? Yes, sir.
Hello. My name is Garrett Jester. I've been here before. I presented this card to all of you, and I have more for anyone here in the court that wishes to have a copy. I am a veteran, and I am currently homeless. I brought to attention a facility where I was at, where my colleague was at 20 years ago. He saw abuses there. Suffered abuses, experienced abuses, and horrid conditions, as did I. I shall play audio as I did 2 weeks ago.
Again, if I can talk to a veteran that was there in 2012 and he tell me horror stories, and I can talk to veterans that have been there in 2015 and later and they tell me horror stories, and I literally stayed there and I have horror stories, then there was no mitigation. There was talk, there was grant money, but there was no changes. The same cockroaches and the same black mold and the same leaks in rooms and other places and the same water dripping through electrical outlets and all that stuff.
There are ongoing problems, and as you know, it is an extremely old building, and we, like I mentioned, we have a weekly meeting, and we are kept abreast of any leaks that occur.
Did you know that there was water going through electrical lights and raining down onto veterans in a main hallway?
Yes, we're aware of that. So, and trust me, you don't have to trust me, but the VA is constantly on top of that. So we are aware of those issues that are occurring.
Well, ma'am, it was going on the whole time I was there. There was leaks in the kitchen and black mold in the kitchen. And
it happened recently as well. We're aware of that.
But that was the whole time I was there. Again.
Right. And it's happened again. It gets fixed. And it happens again.
I was there for
the building extremely old.
I was there for over 3 months, and it happened the entire time I was there. From the day I walked in, those things were there.
I feel like we have a picture of what you're talking about on the tape. So we want to give you an opportunity to speak, and
please.
Time is running out, so go ahead. I want to just hear from you. As we've heard that, and heard it the last time you were here as well. And if you want to continue to play, you can. I just want to, we got a time constraint here. So
yes.
Proceed.
Nobody in this courtroom, or I believe in this county or in this nation, would want their loved ones in a place like this. Nobody would allow people to treat their loved ones like this. I'm a firm belief of that. I also believe that this county does honor, respect, and care about veterans. All I ask, all my colleague asks, who was there 20 years ago and experienced very much the same things, is that people look at this, put us to the test, bring this to light, because this is happening not only here in Texas, but it is happening around the United States in multiple facilities. And you just heard the VA supervisor of this homeless veteran program. You heard her last week, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You heard her today. I have an hour-long conversation. I have hours of conversation of evidence. All I ask is to be completely heard and something to be done. If justice and accountability is done, it will be done for all of us, and I will not have to be here anymore, and he will not have to be here, and somebody will not have to be here 20 years from now speaking of the same thing. I thank you.
We appreciate it, Karen. Thank you very much. All right. Is there anyone else? Yes, sir. State your name for the record, please, if you would.
My name is Barry Smith. Salvation Army. I met Mr. Jester at the Salvation Army, and we had that one thing in common was about U.S. vets. And this was a horrendous place to live. We had prostitutes knocking on our doors weekly. Drugs were everywhere. People were drunk. There was a child rape there. There were suicides there. And it just was, like I said, a horrendous place to live. And I understand that this guy that owns this place has properties throughout the United States that the same things go on at. Now, when I lived there, I actually got a hold of this man who lives in California who owns these properties. He finally came out and visited me in my room and promised me things would change, and they never did, not one bit. So I'm just basically here to back up Garrett and what all that's happened to many veterans in these living facilities.
All right.
That's basically it, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it so much. All right. Let's continue to move forward. Is there anything else? Anyone else would like to come and share? If not, thank you all very much for being here. We would like to take a motion for the court to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you all. Have a great day.
All right.